Those of you that have been with us the last month or so, we have just finished our first sermon series of the new year called Engaged, Engaging with God, Engaging with one another in the church and outside the church. And last week we wrapped it up, do you remember, on engaging in evangelism. And we said evangelism is not necessarily something you need to do on a street corner and all that, or even in the pulpit or whatever. Every day there are those opportunities that pass by in front of you. Joyce came into the office Monday, Tuesday, right after the service, and said, well, I need to share a story with you about evangelism. And so I said, you've got to share that with the church. So here's an opportunity that was seen and seized. Listen to this one.
Doug and I went to Walmart the other day, and we actually witnessed evangelism in process. And it was mind-boggling the way that it unfolded. We were going through the checkout counter, and there was a woman that was in front of us that kind of had a bubbly, outgoing personality. And the best we could discern is that she was a regular customer, and the lady that was checking her out, they were friendly, and she was talking to her, and she asked the question of the cashier, you seem a little down today. And one thing led to another, and the cashier shared the fact that her husband had died just a couple of months ago and that she was really down in the dumps. Well, this woman, being the personality she was, she got out of her that this woman had no one, no relatives in Champaign-Urbana. Her husband's relatives were nowhere around. She had nobody. And before she finished, and within 5 minutes probably, she had invited the woman to church. She had found out that the only way that woman could get there was on a bus. So she had the woman's telephone number, her address, and a time that she would pick her up on Sunday. Is that amazing or what?
Thank you. Guys, that's engaging in evangelism. That's at the checkout line at Walmart. The opportunities are everywhere, and I hope you are seizing them as well. Well, real quickly this morning, we have a very special guest with us. Thank you for joining us today at MCC. We love gathering together here, and glad you've gathered with us. Our special guest is from a very special place as well. Bob Phillips and his wife are with us this morning. Bob is a part of Little Galilee Christian Camp, and you have an insert in your bulletin this morning about the camp and how the last year's season went, the number of campers, the number of weeks, etc. And I want to draw your attention to the over $30,000 in missions giving. That's not what we gave to the camp. That's what the campers throughout the year during their mission money gave back to some other mission that they took upon themselves for the week. Talk about generosity. We're teaching it even to our little kids, and they are really getting it. But it's been a great year. We love Little Galilee Christian Camp. How many of you have been or went to Christian Camp when you were growing up? Anybody? A couple of you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Camp is such an important part of our lives and our memories if you've been there. If you haven't, you need to start that memory right now with your children. Bob's going to come share with us from the Word of God, but first, Bob, bring us a little greeting from the camp and a little update maybe, but open your Bibles and get ready. This man has not only been with the camp for over 20 years, he loves the camp. And to me, one of the great successes of the camp is that the folks that work there love the camp, and they love the campers. And boy, it just shows. It shows out of every pore of their body. You'll love Bob if you haven't met him before. There's a display out here in the foyer as you leave. Please take time to look at those pictures. It shows you a lot of things going on at the camp. This camp is spoken of all across our country and is known to be one of the very top Christian camps in our country. I'm very proud to have it here in our area. We support it regularly. And we're just glad, Bob, to have you with us this morning. Oh, you've got
Thank
a
you,
mic.
Thank you. Thank you, David, for the very kind words. I bring you greetings from one of God's very special places where good things happen, and that's Little Galilee Christian Camp and Retreat Center. I want to thank you as a congregation for your partnership with the camp. Every month we receive a financial gift from the Muhammad Christian Church, and this is very important because it allows us to continue charging the campers about 50%, just slightly over 50% of what it actually costs us to operate the camp. So for every victory that you hear about through Little Galilee, you helped make that possible. And not only do you support us financially, but you're good cheerleaders for the camp. And David leads the way with that, along with Jeff. And many of you come and help coordinate one of our camp weeks. I think we have 48 different camp sessions scheduled for this year. Sometimes people think, well, camp is just for the kids. Not so. We have had, as you see in the yellow sheet insert, we had well over 1,000 adults in the various adult programs last year. Two family camps, one over Memorial Day weekend and one over Labor Day weekend, men's retreat, mother-daughter retreat, etc. On the 12th of March, we have our annual meeting. That's the day when registration starts for the campers this year. And it's important for us to have representation from the church here on that evening. It's a dinner meeting at the Activity Center, because the registration materials for the summer will be passed out that evening. In addition to that, campers who've attended the last 2 years will receive in the mail a registration form for this year. So we very, very much appreciate, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here and to say thank you for your partnership with Little Galilee. There are two matters of prayer that I share with you. Number one, Ken Rutledge, who for almost 19 years was our camp manager, has retired, and I have been named the interim camp manager, along with being the development director, until a new executive director is found. So I ask that you please pray for the personnel committee as they receive resumes and as they go out and search for a new executive director. The second matter for prayer is the construction of our new dining hall. We, back in about 2004, went on the basis of capital improvements on a debt-free basis, meaning that we don't start a project until we have either the funds on hand or have a giving pattern that would indicate that by the time we can conclude that construction project, the money will all be on hand, debt-free. So our theme for the new dining hall project has been Little Galilee's 2020 vision, meaning that in next year sometime, we're praying that it will be completed and be completed debt-free. We have just about a need for about $500,000 additional between now and that time. I say estimated because we have volunteer workers come, and we don't know how many of those will show up between now and completion time. But if some of you would have some time to come out, I assure you that Kevin Peterson, our facilities director, who is also the superintendent for the construction, will have something for you to do. Kevin's been with us for over 38 years, and we're very grateful for his ministry, along with a host of churches that see the ministry of Little Galilee to be very, very important. Again, thank you, and we look forward to our continued relationship and partnership with this church as we all move together. The camp is an extended arm of each local church. Our mission is the same as your mission. I'd like to invite you right now to stand with me as I read a passage of Scripture. I am reading from the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. I expect you will remember the incident. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." And he arose and went. And behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and he was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And as he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, Go and join this chariot. And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he said, Do you understand? Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, Well, how could I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall relate his generation, for his life has been removed from the earth? And the eunuch, the one being taught, said to Philip, Please, tell me, whom does the prophet say this, of himself or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He ordered the chariot to stop, and they went down both into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to give you just a little background to this incident of which I read this morning. The church had been established in Jerusalem. Jesus had said, Go into all the world, go preach, share the good news. And this is a part of the story of how that was taking place, because the disciples began sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But soon some difficulty arose within the church at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad. They left their homes, and the scripture says, as they went preaching the word. That shouldn't surprise us. That was exactly what Jesus had commissioned them to do. Go into all the world. And they began at Jerusalem. That was their home. That's where it started. And then they scattered preaching the word. Well, the church was growing, and in the early chapters of the book of Acts, we find out that there was a murmuring with it. Can you imagine that? Murmuring within the church. Well, early on, there was murmuring in the church, because some of them were saying, some of those ladies, some of those widows are receiving preferential treatment. Some of the Jewish ladies. And those who were non-Jews were being neglected, so they said. Well, apparently the accusation was accurate, because the apostles called the brethren together and said, Select from your midst men who are good men, men who are of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you find men who are full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, good things are going to happen. And so they selected seven men, and among those men was the name of Philip. That's the guy that was involved here down in this conversion experience on the road from Jerusalem down to Gaza. Now, early on, keep in mind, Philip was selected to help serve tables. He was selected to do something very good. You see, it's not... I've known of some churches that they just focus on doing good things for other people. And that's okay. Other churches focus just on evangelism, like we talked about this morning. That's okay. That's a part of the Lord's work. It's not either or. It's both and. Because early on, the church met the needs of those who had needs. And they were commissioned to go preaching the gospel, and that they did. And Philip was one of those. Somebody says, well, he was just a deacon. We refer oftentimes to those seven fellows there in the book of Acts as the first deacons. It doesn't say they were deacons, but it does say they were servants. And that's what a deacon is. That's what each Christian is to do. He was a servant. But we find this Philip guy involved in both aspects of the church fulfilling her mission, that of helping those who were in need and that of sharing the gospel. For he was down into the region of Samaria and preaching. There was great success. But the angel of the Lord speaks to him and said, go from this down to the road. And when he got there, he finds this guy riding along in his chariot, doing of all things, reading the scripture. Now, not the Bible as we have the Bible today, probably just a portion even of the book of Isaiah, the prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't understand what he was reading. It's interesting that it says that Philip ran after the angel said, go join that chariot. He ran. He was eager to follow the direction the Lord was giving him. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt something working away in your heart? I just need to be more involved in this or that. I feel the Holy Spirit prompting me to be a youth sponsor or a youth teacher or help in VBS or call on the sick or whatever it may be. Philip was eager. He ran to join this chariot. But he got there. The fellow said, I don't understand, as he beckoned him to come up and ride with him. Who's he talking about? Well, it was that prophecy from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah about the beautiful coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He says, I don't understand this. Is he talking about himself or somebody else? And Philip began at the same scripture. How appropriate. Prophecy about the coming of the Savior, and he preached unto him Jesus. Now, there are three or four points I want to bring to our attention this morning. And the first of all is the open road of opportunity. The opportunity to serve. Appreciated that testimony this morning, how there was just an opportunity there. We're just, most of us are flooded with opportunities. At the coffee shop, at the post office, wherever we are in our workaday world or our recreational world, flooded with opportunities to let others know we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And our attitudes and our involvement in lifestyle speaks to that fact. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We've been blessed to be a blessing, to share that blessing with somebody else, to serve. Several years ago, and not everybody can do like Philip and that explain the gospel, preach to somebody else. But some can. Others have various other gifts. Several years ago, there was a 120 residents in the nursing home, Christian nursing home at Lincoln. 120 of them. And one Christmas, every single one of those 120 residents in that Christian nursing home received a little pair of booties, crocheted booties. They came from a lady in Champaign who crocheted all of those booties to make possible, to be sure that all of those ladies and other men as well had a gift for Christmas. That same lady also made a lot of Afghans. And this is one of them. Joanne and I have four or five of these around our house. A lot of people around Champaign-Urbana have these. She would make them and give them to young mothers to put around her baby and so forth. She was finding a way to serve. But what I didn't tell you was, and some of you will know her, Mary Holden was blind. But she found a way to serve her Lord. She found a way to bless others with her giftedness, blind, yeah. Her husband would arrange the bowls of yarn around and various color arrangements, and she could work that way. In the midst of a revival meeting several years ago, the evangelist says to the preacher, would it be all right if I would just right in the middle of my sermon tonight ask for the people just in an informal way to go to the person who most influenced them to become a Christian? Well, the preacher said, I think that'd be all right. Let's do that. So right in the middle of the service, he just said, people, we're going to have something very informal. I want you to get up and go to the person that most influenced you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so they informally, everybody stood up and they started to mingle around, and some went to the preacher who had ministered to the family at a time of crisis and had later sat down at the kitchen table and studied the scriptures and led them to Christ. Some went to an elder who had gone out of his way to shepherd and minister to them. Some went to a youth sponsor. Some went to others. But before long, it was obvious that a great line was lining up in front of an elderly woman. Didn't drive a car, never did. Others brought her to the church services. She had never been the president of the women's fellowship, had never taught a Bible school class. But everybody knew that woman was an encourager and one who loved Jesus. She watched the newspapers, and when she saw that some of the young people had received an honor or recognition in the school activities, she'd write them a note and congratulate them. When she heard of somebody having difficulty in the home, a death, or somebody going to the hospital, whatever, she'd get on her phone and she'd call. How are they doing? Want to pray for them. And she would write notes of encouragement, all those different ways that others know that she was a Christian and she loved and cared for them. You see, there are a lot of ways. You have those opportunities. I have those opportunities. They probably come before you in a dozen different ways today and tomorrow to let others know. Here was Philip responding with eagerness. He ran. He ran and joined himself to this chariot. The beauty of the open road of service. And I suspect, David, if we had a testimonial time this morning, there'd be people who'd stand and said, yes, I want to tell you about somebody who did something special for me in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you about a circumstance in my life where somebody intersected a time of crisis, of discouragement, a time of difficulty, and they let Jesus speak through them into my life because they were sensitive. And I remind you again, people like Philip, who are full of faith and the Holy Spirit, are sensitive to those opportunities, the open road of opportunity. Secondly, I'd like to point out the power of the open book. We're a people of the book. The Restoration Movement says we want a book, chapter, and verse for what we believe and why we believe it. At Little Galilee's Christian Camp, we make sure that all the campers bring a Bible. And if they don't bring one with them, they get one. It's more than zip lines and basketball and volleyball and fun and games. It's an extended arm of the church. That is to encourage those who are saved to stay faithful and to bring the unsaved to a saving knowledge of Jesus. That involves the book, the Bible, as he was reading a section of the prophecy of Isaiah about the coming of Jesus. Listen, folks, anytime you open the Word, it's pretty difficult to open it anywhere unless you find something about Jesus. Either He's coming or He's been there and He's coming again. Amen? You can begin back in the early pages of the book of Genesis and you'll find a blood-stained thread begin to wind itself with God's plan down through the corridors of time, and it finds a resting place on a hill outside of Jerusalem known as Golgotha, the place of the skull. And you can begin in the latter pages of the book of Revelation, and you begin to trace that blood-stained thread back in the other direction, and it goes to a hill outside of Jerusalem known as Golgotha, the place of the skull. Is it any accident? Is it any accident that as they were studying this passage of Scripture, they came to a certain water, and he said, here is water, what keeps me from being baptized? Any accident? No, because he had heard about Jesus. In a loving, apparently very thorough way. And he said, here's water. Now, who was this guy? Ethiopian eunuch. Keeper of the queen's treasury. A trusted man. A man in whom others had confidence. A religious man. He'd been all the way to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And on his way home, what was he doing? Reading the Scripture. But you know, the world's filled with a lot of religious people. The world is filled with a lot of religious people who have high standards of conduct that sometimes put the church to shame. But people who are good people are not necessarily right people with God. People who are religious people may not be right with God because they have never accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes back to the Father except by me. If you believe that, say amen. It takes more than just being religious. It takes more than just filling your life with good, thoughtful deeds. Jesus is the Savior. And this man, when he heard about Jesus, aside from his goodness, aside from the fact that others placed great confidence and trust in him, said, look, here's water. What keeps me from being baptized? Philip said, you may, if you believe. Now, what value of what good would it have done to baptize him if he had no faith, he had no trust, no belief? If that were the case, I expect David could get 5 or 6 big, bustling men and just baptize from dawn till dark. But of what value would that be? None at all. You may if you believe. Thirdly, the beauty of the open heart. This man could have been prejudiced. Hey, I've been religious all my life. Do you understand that I've been all the way up to Jerusalem to worship at the temple? And here I'm on my way back home and I'm reading the Scripture. He could have been satisfied at that point. But he wasn't, because he came to understand the need for the Lord Jesus Christ. The beauty of the open heart. I want to challenge you this morning to, number one, be very responsive to their open road of service. Little Galilee Christian Camp and Retreat Center exists because of people who saw an opportunity several years ago, 64 years ago. Well, I believe it's 66 years ago when it first started to develop. The first camp for health 64 years ago. Saw an opportunity to build a camp, and literally hundreds, if not thousands, it would be thousands, have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because there were those who were prompted by the Holy Spirit to build a Christian service camp. In the last 5 years, there have been 555 that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ at camp. Amen. Amen. You folks help make that possible. By your prayers, by your financial support. I pray that you'll be sensitive to the open road of opportunity that the Lord will put before you, maybe yet this day, maybe at the restaurant, maybe a neighbor, maybe at a funeral visitation, wherever it is. Because of your faith and being filled with the Holy Spirit, you would be prompted to be sensitive in responding to that opportunity. And that you would always remember that the testimony of the book, the testimony of the open book, focuses in one way or another to God loving the world so much He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And the beauty of the open heart that would be responsive to that message of love and redemption. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank You for Your love. For the Lord Jesus, our Savior, the way, the truth, and the life, that provides us an opportunity to be redeemed and to come back into Your presence for all eternity. I thank You, God, for this fellowship of believers, for their faith, for their service, for their witness through the camp and through other means as well. And pray Your continued blessings upon David and the rest of the staff and the elders as they lead this fellowship of believers, always to lift up Jesus, who promised that if He is, He will draw all men unto Himself. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.